Today on Real Radio.
You don't become a Christian by joining some church or signing some documents. It is a divine supernatural work in the heart, and it's directly connected to being a disciple. You cannot be a Christian without being a disciple. And if you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, you will naturally be a Christian.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher begins a new series called The Disciplines of Life, a topical series that takes Scripture and applies its principles to our lives. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in the opening presentation, quite simply called The Disciplines of Discipleship.
The Disciplines of Discipleship. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." I want to take a little bit of a methodical approach to that verse, and then we're going to go into our study tonight. So this is introduction. It's very important. If you're note-taking tonight, jot it down. When Jesus spoke there in Matthew 16, 24, he used the word disciple this way. The word means one who learns and does. Not just one who learns, not just one who receives education and doesn't do anything with it. Nobody needs that in life. The word means to learn and to do. The word we get from here is a pupil, a student in a class. We also get the word from this apprentice, somebody who is learning, someone who is taking in with the absolute motive of doing. The Christian faith is a doing faith. The Bible says that God is love. And you all know in any language in the world, the word love, no matter what it is spoken in, is a verb. It is an action word. You cannot say you love someone without taking care of them, without ministering to them, without showing that love. It's an amazing thing. The word love, the act of love, cannot be separated. So when you say, "Well, I love you," that means that there's this sense of you'll do anything for me, or I'll do anything for you. When Jesus says, "I love you," it's obviously proven in Christ that he'll do anything for us. And then Jesus turns, as we'll hear tonight, and says to us that we need to love one another, a true act of discipleship. He uses this other word. Look with me there in Matthew 16, 24, the word anyone. If anyone, and that is a great statement because it makes the invitation for all people to become a Christian. No matter who you might be, no matter what you believe now, you can come to faith in Jesus Christ and be what Jesus said is born again. You can become a Christian. You don't become a Christian by joining some church or signing some documents. It is a divine supernatural work in the heart, and it's directly connected to being a disciple. You cannot be a Christian without being a disciple. And if you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, you will naturally be a Christian. Well, look at the word desire. He who desires to come after me. That word desire means to be thirsting, hungering, focused, with an unwavering pursuit of God. That's what that word desire. Jesus says, if you come to me with an unwavering desire to pursue me, Jesus says, you'll be my disciple. That's an important and much needed declaration tonight. Church, as we gather together tonight, this is a great classroom setting for you and I to say, Lord, am I desiring you as much as I ought? Now, maybe tonight you would say, you know, Pastor Jack, I don't know if I desire God as much as I ought to. Well, praise God you're here. That's great that you're listening. Ask him to put that within your heart. There is nothing out of our reach when we pray and ask our Lord. Nothing. Do you want more faith? Yes, pray. You could have done anything else in this world around us, and you've come here, and I assume because you're hungering and thirsting, because you desire more of him. Then look at the next word, deny. Let him deny himself. That word means, listen, concerning ourselves. I'll just pick on me right now. If I'm going to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, that word deny means this, that I'm going to deny to the point of disowning me. Hear me out. To disown myself, to disavow myself, to abstain from myself. Listen, this sounds strange, and if you're a psychologist in here tonight, you're going to say, somebody call a doctor. But the word also means to depart from yourself. How does somebody depart from themselves? Well, listen, Jesus said, whatever your pursuits are, whatever your passions are, whatever those things that are of this world and of yourself, he's saying, I want you now to make a decision to depart from those things. You say, Jack, are you saying that I shouldn't have a desire to go to college? That's not what I'm saying. Are you saying that I shouldn't marry that person or that person? I'm not saying that. Well, I really want to be a corporate executive, or I really want to be an architect, or I really want... That's not what I'm saying. Jesus is saying this. Whatever you have as a target in your life for our pursuits, you need to put Christ at the top of that thing. And listen, everything that you do is with Jesus first. Amen. Being a disciple. It's amazing to realize, and I know this sounds shocking to say, but it is theologically accurate. Nobody who's in heaven tonight got there by not being a disciple. You have got to be a disciple to follow Christ. So much so that the thief on the cross who was converted to Christ in that moment before entering eternity, that was his window, his moment of being a disciple. And he didn't fail. Didn't he give testimony? Lord, will you remember me when you come into your kingdom? What a great statement. And that man, that thief on the cross there in Luke's gospel, can you imagine throughout all the world how many people in their last hour of breath looked to that story, looked to that portion of scripture and said, you know what, there's hope for me. Maybe you're here tonight and you think there's no hope for you. Oh, there's hope for you, all right. And in a second, you can become a disciple of Jesus Christ. Now, what about us who have lived for a while? We'll talk about that tonight. It's encouraging. He says, take up your cross in that verse. That means this. Now, this is important. That's our issues of life, our challenges, our hardships, our calling. Don't shout it out, but where are you in this life right now? You might say, I've got this situation, I've got this issue, I've got this hardship, or I've got this challenge, this call upon my life. Listen, are you a Christian tonight? You say, yes, I'm a Christian tonight. Then listen, great. Then you are a disciple of Jesus Christ. You are to take up that cross of yours, and you are to bear it. This is the Christian walk. Look, I hope I don't blow anybody's minds, but if somebody told you becoming a Christian is the easiest thing in the world to do, let me straighten that out right now. In this world, if you are going to be a real Christian, which are very rare these days, you are going to be a follower of Jesus Christ, and you will have issues in life to deal with. They could be physical. They, at times they're emotional. They are maybe financial. They may be something that is of deep spiritual a challenge to you, whatever it might be. To be a disciple is to embrace those things rather than panic and throw our arms up and say, God, why? How could you be doing this to me? And God would say, because I love you. And like Tevye and Fiddler on the Roof, he answers back and says, Lord, can't you love somebody else for a while? No. You're the disciple. You're the follower of Jesus. And God is committed to growing us up. It's awesome to realize. And then finally, this word follow. And here it comes all back around to that word disciple. The disciple will follow me, says Jesus. That word follow means to be united in the same journey, to walk the same way. It's often been stated the word mimic. Or to walk or move in the same direction. To pilgrim along, a wayfarer or a traveler, a follower. The Bible tells us that we are in this world, but not of this world, and that our citizenship is in heaven. That's fantastic. This world is not what we're living for. We're living for the world to come. Someone said, don't you guys want to inherit the earth, you Christians? Hey, listen, that's up to Jesus to decide. What we want to do is inherit the presence of God himself. That's what we're living for. That's what we're longing for. And those of the Old Testament dispensation in your Bibles, the book of Hebrews speaks to them. In Hebrews 11:13, there the Bible says that they all died in faith. That is in the wilderness. That is in the Old Testament time. They died in faith, not having received the promises. Why? Because the promises' fulfillment was still yet to come. But having seen them from afar off, they were assured of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. That is an awesome statement. By the way, that is a verse that William Bradford, the great pilgrim, often quoted and often taught on when he was in Leiden, and then, of course, when they made it to America. Pilgrims and strangers, they cited it often, that they were passing through. Look, when I was a Christian back in the 70s, there was this cartoon that I don't know who drew, but some of you know it. It's a hippie with his sandals on, and he's kind of like this with a peace sign, and he's got a cross around his neck, and his long hair was flowing, and it said, just passing through. And that was the life of the Christian. And it is the life of the Christian today. This is all introduction. We haven't started yet. The book of Philippians chapter 3 verse 20 says, for our citizenship is in heaven from which we eagerly wait. Do you eagerly wait? Because the disciple does. For our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as Christian disciples of Jesus Christ, we're serious and passionate about knowing him in this life. With all that we can. Okay, so listen. Let's dive into this. Point number one in our study tonight, the disciplines of discipleship. What does it mean to be a disciple? How do I know if I'm doing those things? Number one, sounds kind of obvious, but be careful. Point number one, discipleship requires a conversion. You say, Jack, did I come here tonight to hear that? I'm already saved. Well, first of all, let's not take any chances. This is the issue. There's no such thing as discipleship without being converted to Christ. This may sound almost insulting to some of us, but it's the most basic, fundamental thing is that we be discipled. In fact, Satan has engineered, listen, a plethora of things to give you enough religion, a little injection, a little inoculation of religion to get you going on something, and then he'll load you up with being busy, being preoccupied, going through maybe legalism. Listen, when we're not converted to Christ, but religious, we will gravitate towards legalism. We will love legalism. Why? Because it feeds the flesh. Did you pray today? Did you read today? Did you go to this today? Did you do that today? I did. Boy, I tell you, when you meet that kind of an attitude, you are meeting an attitude that is proud, that is impressed with self, that is grandizing self, and there's no room for Christ. Legalism is a dangerous thing, and legalism always looks down the nose upon other people. Discipleship demands conversion. And Satan will gladly allow you to have a little bit of religion. It could be even a little inoculation of Christianity. All of the trappings. Maybe you own a cross. Maybe you own a Bible. Maybe you go to church at Christmas and Easter. Just enough for you to think, I'm okay with God. But let me ask you, are you faithfully, daily following Jesus as he demands of us? That's required. You say, Jack, are you saying that I work my way into heaven? I'm saying the exact opposite. Once you are converted, you start your path with God. You start a walk with God. You're already saved. If you die the night that you give your heart to Christ, or 30 years later, you're just as saved all along the way. Don't think for a moment, well, who's up there in the big seats in heaven? The guys that have been saved along? Is that Billy Graham's seat up there? Billy Graham was saved the moment he said yes to Jesus than as he is now. But see, when we think legalism and works, no, that's not salvation. Works is the fruit that comes out of knowing the Lord. It has nothing to do with salvation other than in this life, it shows forth that we've done good works unto God. But no true person converted walks around saying, man, look, wow, I've got so many great works. Boy, heaven is going to be really happy to see me show up. That's not how it works. Mark this down. It's important. It's this. Remembering our sinful state. Discipleship requires conversion, and we need to be reminded of the fact, church, listen, I'm not insulting you tonight, so don't get up and run out of the building. I'm saying this, that we who are disciples of Jesus are very mindful that we are sinners saved by the grace of God. That's why we sing with our hands lifted up. We're so happy. We are so glad about that, that he saved us. Mark this. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Man, you would think if God said that in the Bible as he did, that there's no hope for us. The exact opposite. The doctor says to you, you're sick, and I'm going to give you this shot to make you better. Stop right there. When we were little kids, we would plead with our mothers. We would do anything we want, anything that we could to get her to not take us to go get that shot at the doctor's. You guys, I had a medical procedure not too long ago. Actually, it was a little bit of a while ago, I guess, now that I think about it. And, you know, they put you out. And during the procedure, I woke up. But when I was in recovery, I didn't remember that. But the doctor comes into the recovery room and says, and he comes in and he takes his mask off and he's laughing. And I'm thinking, well, I guess everything went fine. And he says, man, you okay? You know, and I go, yeah, you know, fine. And he goes, man, you woke up halfway through that procedure. And he said, you started swinging at me and trying to hit the nurses. And we turned up the flow of the heroin or whatever they put in your face. And before it took effect, he said, you started saying to me, doctor, I'll give you my car. I'll give you my wallet. I started bribing the, I'll do anything if you just stop this. The doctor was working on me to fix me. He had a plan that would make my life better. I was resisting. When the Bible says all have sinned, the person who's not converted but is religious hears that and goes, I can't believe I'm hearing that in church. Well, first of all, it's in the Bible. Where are you going to hear this? This is Bible. I can't believe God would say that. That can't be in the Bible. No, it's there. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It gets better. Romans 3:10 says, as it is written, there is none that does righteousness. No, not one. So man, you're giving me a paper cut and you're pouring salt on it right now. No, listen, the doctor says you're sick, you need help, we need to do this. And that's how you get better. God says, didn't Jesus say, I've come to heal those that are sick. I've come to deliver those and find those who are lost. What you want to do is wake up to the reality of being a disciple. You've got to start with being converted to Christ first. And see, well, Pastor, how do I know if I've been converted to Christ? It's very simple to know. You will want him to rule and reign in your life. Yes, you and I struggle with grabbing the reins and grabbing the wheel. And then the Lord says, excuse me, but can I drive now? And you go, yeah, okay, and you hand it back over. That happens every day in thought process and decision-making and issues. We got to keep handing him the wheel. That's the life of a disciple. Disciples don't necessarily walk on water, but there are times when they could, you know. There are times when disciples don't always raise the dead, but there's times, you know, they've been called to do that. Think about that for just a moment. There were disciples preaching and teaching, and they were doing a great job of it, but there was a little boy possessed with a demon, and Jesus had to come down the mountain and rescue the disciples from their moment of weakness. And didn't Jesus say, this one does not come out but without much fasting and prayer? It's an amazing thing to follow Jesus Christ. An example of being a disciple and being one that's disciplined, listen to this. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15 says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Isn't that good news? Yes. So, okay, I'm feeling better now. Listen to what Paul said. This is the ultimate disciple, Paul the Apostle. The next thing he says after that comma is, of whom I am chief. Do you hear that? You guys, if Paul the Apostle were here right now, and we had a camera and a microphone, say, Paul, you said that right there in 1 Timothy 1:15. Did you mean that? Are you listening?
Yes.
A true disciple will say, listen, not only did I say it, but in my discipleship with Jesus, walking on the same road with him these years, I have come to this conclusion that there's no good thing that dwells within me unless God does it. That within me, I understand that I have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Ladies and gentlemen, church family, right here, right now, one of the reasons why I've been longing for this series is because there is somebody perhaps in a crowd this size being tempted in their thoughts right now, I'm not going to come back and ever hear that again. Do you know what? I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry that you feel that way. I hope that you have a change of mind. You'll never see heaven unless, as a disciple, you understand that the Savior saves sinners. It's sin that scourged our lives and wrapped us up to deliver us to hell. And he comes and rescues us from that. That causes us to turn around and say, Lord, I don't know how you do that. But you said in your Bible, to whom much is forgiven, that person loves much. Only God in Jesus Christ through the cross and resurrection from the dead can take your sinful life and mine and turn it around for a victory. That's why this church, I saw a guy last Sunday walk right past me. I know him. He was a murderer. He did his time and he's out. And he's sitting right next to you right now. I'm kidding. A real murderer. Free. But not free until Jesus sets him free. There is no sin that can keep you from the salvation of Christ except your pride. And so listen, I want to say I love you. I love you so much to tell you this. As if I were a doctor, remember our sinful state. That God has saved us and we've been delivered from a great, great scourge, as it were. I was speaking at a conference out of state on Tuesday. And for them, it was kind of radical. For you guys, it's normal. And then afterwards, I was out, you know, walking around and stuff. And people were saying, man, you're so excited about God. You're so excited about God. And I said, well, yeah. I mean, come on. If you knew how much he has forgiven me, then you'd be excited about God too. See, only God can take and the worst and turn things around.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, in the opening presentation of his series called The Disciplines of Life. It's called, quite simply, The Discipline of Discipleship. It's a look at what Scripture says about being discipled as a true follower of Jesus, and part of Pastor Jack's series called The Disciplines of Life, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, what we just heard is available online at realradioactive.org. You can hear today's broadcast once again, or purchase the message in its entirety. Just visit realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. And right under Pastor Jack's photo, click the tab that says Today's Broadcast, and then the word Purchase if you'd like to hear the presentation in its entirety. Again, realradioactive.org. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can always be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.